Monica Tucker is CEO of Mocha Enterprises and publisher of El Paso Black Pages and Black El Paso Voice. She's currently working on relaunching a Black business directory called El Paso Black Pages. Here with me today is Monica Tucker. Welcome to State of the Arts.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Ms. Monica, will you give us the story of why you felt it was important to create these pages and to create this media entity that you run here in our community?
Well, I first created the directory back in 99. It was a personal directory for me and a few friends, a few military spouse friends, because we were new to the area. That was in the late 90s. And we just wanted to be able to share resources with one another. But at the same time, we want to support Black businesses in the area, especially those who do hair, skin, you know, makeup, things like that. So that's what we're looking for. So that's why we created it. And it just grew from there into trying to really recognize more Black business professionals in the community. And eventually I started Black El Paso, which is now Black El Paso Voice. Black El Paso Voice was started to highlight Black businesses, events, issues in the community, something so we can share with one another. We wanted to share recipes, our poetry, you know, things like that. That's how we started. So we've been around for a while, and we're just now relaunching the El Paso Black Pages so that we can have a comprehensive list of local Black businesses and professionals that we can support. And that includes restaurants. We really want to reach out to Black business consultants, those who are in the mental health field. We want to recognize those too so that people can find them also.
And it's interesting because, you know, I think we were talking about this before where I grew up in Inglewood, California, which is a Black community. And when we moved to El Paso, I was like, where are the Black people? I don't know. Was that your experience when you came here?
Yeah, that was definitely my experience. When I found out that we were going to, that my husband was going to be stationed at Fort Bliss, you know, of course you look it up and you're like, El Paso. Okay, I've heard of El Paso, but not somewhere I ever thought I would live. And I'm like, are there Black people there? That's the first thing I asked. Are there any Black people there? of course, you know that there will be Black people there because of the military. But I was just wondering, you know, if there would be a community that I could relate to when it came to the things that I was involved in. And I got here and I saw that there is a Black community here, and they aren't just because of the military. So that was nice to see and be involved with too.
And I mean, at this point, you're a pretty prevalent voice in bringing the Black community together. I mean, you're the source, kind of the hub, right?
Trying to be. I did meet someone when I first got here, and she had a publication called, I believe it was 411, and she did leave El Paso, so that kind of left too, you know. But I had always been in publishing, so that's why I said, you know, I want to keep this going. You know, I don't want to lose the momentum of people recognizing that we have a voice here in El Paso, and it's important, especially when it comes to politics, education, you know, the arts, everything. So, yeah, I think I want to increase that presence, and we want the Black community to be involved too. We want those writers and bloggers to be able to contribute, you know, what they have to say also.
I mean, right now, race is at the top of we're talking about it right now. And, well, we're kind of talking about it, right?
Right, but like, kind of.
Why do you think people have a hard time talking about it and really getting in there?
I think it's difficult for people to see the reality that this country was strictly built on racism. And I know I had mentioned before, and I say it online all the time, it's not really up to Black people to talk about racism. It's up to the people who are exhibiting the racism, you know, to try to come together and figure out how to solve it. So it's a difficult topic to talk about for not only Black people, but for people who are not Black, who are not racist. Mm-hmm. But they know that they're recognizing now that they have to be the voice to their own people, not that we're not all people, but to their own dynamic group to discuss. They have to be the ones to take the conversation back to their groups and you know, begin to discuss why this is just wrong and how we're all people.
Right, because I think the solution before has been like, well, if we don't talk about it, it's fine, right? It doesn't exist. But that's the reality that, you know, somebody like me or somebody who's not Black could maybe relate to. But that's not your reality, right?
Right. That's not my reality, because basically with this situation that just happened with George Floyd, It happens all the time. And we're all constantly talking to our kids and our family members about being safe, because we know that people out there will do things like this just solely because of the color of our skin. So once that conversation dies down nationally, I tell people we're still Black. We still have to deal with it. And we still get those people who are not Black who say, well, you guys are just making too big of a deal about it. You know, he was probably a criminal, or, you know, they're always trying to find some reason why a Black person was murdered unarmed. Mm-hmm. And so we still have to deal with that. So the conversation has to be taken to the powers that be, and that's the elected officials, the educators, you know, everyone needs to do their part when it comes to making sure this doesn't happen again.
And
we
you
have
know,
the same conversation every time something happens, and it's kind of, we're kind of tired of talking about it. You know, it's
right. It's like, let's do something.
Yeah.
Like, let's do something. And speaking of, when there was a protest or a few protests organized here in El Paso, you know, you also saw out there in social media and in media, well, why are you bringing that here? It didn't happen here. And it's like, well, that's not true. Maybe that instance didn't happen here. There is an instance that happened here, though. But racism is everywhere. And to say that you're bringing it here is also not the right way to phrase it.
I think when people said that on social media during the protest here, when they said, you're bringing that here, I think they meant bringing the protest here as if there are no racism issues here, or nothing that happened quite like what happened to Mr. George Floyd. But that's not true. It did happen. It wasn't the El Paso Police Department. It was the Sheriff's Department. And, you know, it still irks me to this day that no one's talking about Sergeant James Brown. This was an active duty service member who innocently went in to serve his time for a traffic violation, I guess. And he was told he was going to go home the next day. So when he didn't, of course, he was upset about it. But they were mocking him at the same time. And that ended in his death. He was unarmed in a safe county jail. And we're not talking about that. So it does happen here. And they can say, oh, well, that wasn't a racist situation. It was because of the way that he was acting. Was it? Or they just looked at this Black man as, you know,
right,
typical Black man, and we have to make sure we subdue him. And that's what we see. But no one's talking about that. And that's what's upsetting me. And so these protests right now, when people say you're bringing that here, racism is here. It's mm-hmm. in the schools. My daughter went through it. She was bullied. She was racially bullied. And they basically said, oh, tell her to get a thick skin. That was the response. So guess what? That same person that racially bullied her, they did nothing to him. And he grew up to start committing crimes around El Paso. When you don't address it, that's what happens. You're telling people that it's okay. So it's in the education system here. It's in several different workplaces. It's everywhere. I can't go into a store without, you know, saying, okay, Monica, walk like you.
Right.
Walk like
cool.
A rich. So no one will think you're coming in to steal something. And it's frustrating. And of course, during this pandemic, it's even worse because we have to wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to wear masks as Black people because we're like, okay, they're getting ready to follow us around the store. And that's what happens. They follow us around. Everyone else can come in around us, not Black. They pay them no attention, but they're following us. And then the person who's really stealing is the one who just came in, you know, behind us. So it's frustrating.
So what can we do? It is a mammoth, it is a big thing. We know that. But, you know, you and I are having this conversation now, which we probably should have had a long time ago. but we're having it now. So what can we do, or how do we start chipping away at this issue? Because you're right, racism exists, and to pretend it doesn't is not working. We know that.
Right.
So I think what can we do?
Is exactly what we're doing now. You opened up your platform to be able to discuss this. We need other people to be able to do that. The media outlets here anyone who has a platform, whether it's a physical location, whether it's a media outlet, the conversation needs to be had. People are visual. I think we can create the stories. I mean, you're an arts program, so I know you have access to actors and singers and people who can bring the message home through music, through art, whatever. I think that conversation needs to take place, and it needs to be continuous. It doesn't need to die down after the national conversation has died down because the media is no longer talking about it. We need to handle it in our community. So what happened nationally, unfortunately, it brought up the conversation here again on the border. Is there racism on the border? That's the question. Yes, there is. When people tell us that there's not, we're like, have you experienced it? People think that it's just, you know, white people or others who exhibit racism. That's not true. Mm-hmm. There's racism within the Latino community amongst each other. Mm-hmm. My grandson is Latino and Black. The things that his mom has to go through, the things that my son has to go through, things that my grandson is going to have to go through, it's within the Latino community too. It's about colorism. Right. That's what it's about. So the conversation needs to take place here. So I've seen white people here who were discriminated against by Latino people. So it happens. It's a broad conversation, yes, but it needs to be discussed. It's here. I get called the N-word all the time. You can't go to certain places without someone saying something. So, yeah, it's here.
My mind is blown. I can't believe that you're still hearing that word now.
Oh, yes. My daughter heard it in school when she's going to be a sophomore now at UTEP. But her school years, all the time. And this is recent. So it happens. Or they'll make certain remarks about Kool-Aid and fried chicken or something. And that wasn't coming necessarily from white people. It was coming from Hispanic people. So the conversation needs to be had by everyone. So when you look online on social media, the discussion now is about George Floyd and the protest here. And like you said, people saying, oh, don't bring that here. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the comment section, it tells a story. Oh, there's racism in El Paso. And it's basically because it's not taught. Well, no, not that racism is, because racism to me is taught, but the conversation about racism is not taught at home or in the schools. And that's what needs to change. In addition to the elected officials doing something about all this police brutality too, and making sure that there are more stringent punishments that takes place when it comes to people being treated unfairly or being a victim of racism, especially physically.
We have 14 minutes. This is just scratching, you know, just a little bitty scratch. But I'm glad that we had this conversation and that we will continue to have this conversation. And before we go, tell us about the relaunch of the El Paso Black Pages, because I know that's your current project and that's what's going on right now.
A current project, and it's always been here. We've always reached out to businesses to ask them to submit their information. It's just difficult to try to get some Black businesses to submit their information to us. For some, I don't know why, but others, some just don't want people to know that they're a Black-owned business because they don't think they'll get the support. And that's something we have to change too. So the relaunch takes place on June 19th, which is Juneteenth, a special holiday for Texas and Black people. And that's going to feature, you know, local Black businesses and resources also. And it's a part of our initiative with Black El Paso Voice, our online publication, to, again, just come together collectively to share stories, to, you know, just share information with one another.
I thank you so much. And I think it's also our responsibility to tune into Black El Paso Voice and learn more about our community and support Black businesses and to continue to have the difficult conversation about racism. Thank you so much for today. Today, my guest has been Monica Tucker. She is CEO of Mocha Enterprises and publisher of El Paso Black Pages and Black El Paso Voice. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you. Thank you, Marina.